Okay, so let's get rolling. We are just past the top of the hour. So thank you everyone for joining us. My name is Noah. I'm one of the founders of Indivisible Austin. It began with two of us being cranky online and deciding to do something about it. We read the Indivisible Guide and got together with some people. We quickly grew from 12 at our first meeting to 35 on our first call, to 150 at our next in-person meeting. And so this is a movement. We are part of something much larger, the whole Indivisible zeitgeist, and we're very proud to be a part of that. So this is a big week for all of us, and so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about myself or our organization because this is it. It is time to move past anger, past denial, past bargaining. This is full on the acceptance phase. We have an inauguration coming up, and Trump will be our president, and you are all here today because you want to fight back, and you want to fight back the only way that might actually work, which is through our representative officials in Congress. And, for better or worse, they are there to represent us, and we need to hold them accountable. So the silver lining in this extremely dark cloud is that people have suddenly rediscovered democracy, and we're all super happy to be part of that. So again, I'm recording the call, and you press five star for questions. I want to have three quick, like, one-minute things, 1 minute total for all three, and then I'm going to turn it over to our speakers. So real quick, late-breaking news this afternoon that our own Lloyd Doggett will not be attending the inauguration, and so that is a victory of this movement, and we can all pat ourselves on the back for that one. He's a good guy, and everybody should give him a ring and thank him. And in fact, it was former staffers from his office who kicked off this entire movement. Also, Texas District 21 had a big win today. They visited Lamar Smith's offices in, I think, three locations and left him an awesome sticky note saying, like, sorry we missed you, we'll be back. And that was very cool to see. And finally, the last thing I wanted to announce before we move on to speakers is we have a new feature on our website. So as you know from the Indivisible Guide, because I know that you've all read it and that's why you're here, a big part of it is not just making those phone calls, but showing up, getting out there, getting to the town halls, getting to those parades and baby kissing and whatever it is they do, and being there. The challenge is we don't know where they are. They don't publish their schedules. I'm sure you have experienced this frustration. So as a way to solve that, we have decided to crowdsource this. And what that means is that you can go to indivisibleaustin.com/tips. That's T-I-P-S. If you have any inkling of the whereabouts of your representative in Congress or the Senate, if you know where they're going to be at any kind of public appearance, whether it is a town hall or something else, send us a tip. Tell us where you heard the information. And with enough people contributing, we should be able to generate enough information so that we can go and meet with our elected members face to face. So I'm going to stop talking now and turn it over to a couple of wonderful speakers. We have Lisa, who's going to update us on the ACA and a whole bunch of other Austin activities happening this week. We actually met Lisa on our first conference call a couple of weeks ago. It seems like a year ago because now she is a extremely valuable core member of our leadership team. And also speaking tonight will be Sarah, who is our liaison to the main Indivisible Guide group and was at our first in-person meeting of 12 of us sitting at a Vietnamese restaurant. So Lisa and Sarah, I will turn it over to you, and I think, Lisa, you are up first.
Okay, can you all hear me?
I believe they can, but they're muted, so I can hear you.
Okay, but you can hear me, so that's good.
Yes.
I can hear you. I can hear you too, Lisa.
Hi, Sarah.
Okay. Oh, whoops. Hold on. Hold on. I just dropped my phone. Okay. Thank you, Noah, for saying kind things about me. I just want to say that I have been blown away by all of the incredibly valuable folks who have turned out and shown up and gotten involved with Indivisible over the last couple of weeks, and some of the actions that that folks are taking with their district groups and online and in person. They're just really heartening to see. I don't really have much of an ACA update because there's not much happening legislatively right now since the vote-a-rama last week, excuse me, which created the budget resolution to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
Lisa?
Yeah.
Can I add real quick? I'm sorry to interject here, but I actually just got a note from one of our people working on specifically healthcare in the main group, and he relayed that Senators Cassidy and Collins, two Republicans, introduced an ACA replacement on Monday, which will likely mean fewer people covered and less robust coverage. But Republicans want to be able to say that they have a plan, but the one that they proposed is BS, and we need to make sure that Democrats don't try to negotiate.
Okay, so that's interesting. I work with a lot of healthcare advocates, and I haven't seen that come through anywhere yet. So I will take that under advisement and try to get some more information on that.
Okay, cool.
But what I did want to say is that last week we did a conference call for an Affordable Care Act update, and on that had a couple of policy experts from here in Texas. That call is available on the Indivisible Austin website, and you can listen to it at your leisure. We've had over 150 people listen to the call, either who were on the call with us that night or who have listen to it since then, and there's lots of great resources also on the blog post where that conference call is available. The next couple things I'm going to talk about are all sort of calendar items, and there is now a calendar on the Indivisible Austin website, and I know a number of different people are contributing to that, so I don't know exactly what that process is, but if you have calendar items that you want to get added to the calendar, I'm sure Noah can probably explain how that's happening. But just to kind of quickly go through these things, this week there has been kind of a movement, not necessarily started from Indivisible, but I think it was maybe Pantsuit Republic that started it, to get Texans to go to Senator Cruz's and Senator Cornyn's offices to meet with their staffers about ACA repeal. So tomorrow, TX District 10 scheduled an appointment with Senator Cornyn's office at 3 p.m. and are asking folks to come join them for that meeting. The group will be meeting in front of the office at 2:30. Again, the appointment is at 3 p.m. And if you're able to go, you should come prepared to share your concerns about repeal and your personal story about how the ACA has affected you. You don't have to speak. You can just kind of be there showing moral support. If you are interested in going, please send an RSVP note to this email, info, just I-N-F-O, at TX, the number 10, indivisible.us. Again, that's info at TX10indivisible.us. And the appointment is at Senator Cornyn's downtown office at 221 West 6th Street, Suite 1530. But again, I think if you RSVP that you're able to go, then the person coordinating that visit will send you the meeting location details. And of course, this is the inauguration week, and there are a lot of activities happening around Austin, and there are two in particular that Indivisible Austin is organizing for. These are the two marches happening on Friday and Saturday. There is a really wonderful blog post that one of our volunteers put together with all of the details about both of these marches that is on the blog right now. I think it's the top post. So it has details about the One Resistance Rally, and that is the one happening Friday evening starting at 5 p.m. at Auditorium Shores. And this is done by a coalition of more than 40 organizations here in Austin with a focus on protesting the president-elect's politics of fear and hate. So we'll be focusing on civil rights, immigrants' rights, reproductive rights, the environment, good jobs, as well as justice and safety in all of our communities. Again, it starts at 5 p.m. on Friday. The Indivisible Group will be meeting near in front of the box office at the Long Center. Again, visit the blog, and it will have all of the details there. So we hope that you can join us. Invite your friends. If you're not able to join us, you might possibly want to avoid downtown because I think there will be a traffic jam. And then on Saturday, of course, is the Women's March on Austin, which is coordinated with the Women's March in Washington, D.C. That event is, the march is starting on Saturday at noon, but all advice indicates that those planning to join should be at the Capitol by 11. The march will be beginning at noon, and Indivisible group members will gather in front of the Texas Capitol Visitor Center on 11th Street. Again, details of that location and everything else are available on the blog. And if you have questions about anything, I think you can just comment there, and folks will get back to you with whatever additional information you need. And then I guess the last thing that I want to mention, we are in the ever-ongoing process of identifying volunteer needs doesn't quite sound like the right thing. Roles and jobs and stuff keep revealing themselves to us. So periodically we'll be putting out the call for some additional hands on board. And one of the things that we're looking for right now is someone who would be able to coordinate Indivisible Austin's social media presence. We have a team of social media folks representing the different districts, and I think we're looking for someone who might be able to bring that all together. So, Noah, where should people volunteer? If that's so something that they would like to do.
We are still working on a formal onboarding process through our website, so I think right now just email ask@indivisibleaustin.com. And another thing that I meant to do today and did not was come up with a list of volunteer needs and have that in a easy-to-find place on our website. And so look for that in the next day or two as well.
Okay, I think that's the last item on my portion.
Okay, so we can turn it over to Sarah. I do just want to remind people that if they have questions, go ahead and press 5-star, and apparently that will indicate to me that you are waving your hand and want to be asked, and so then when we're ready to move on to Q&A, I can unmute you and you can ask your question. So, Sarah.
Thanks, Noah. I'm going to go ahead and dive right in. I might sound a little stuffed up. I woke up with a killer cold this morning. So to kind of piggyback on Lisa's announcement earlier of the calendar feature on the Indivisible Austin website, I also wanted to highlight the addition of a calendar. It actually goes by the term Action Calendar under the Local Groups tab of the Indivisible Guide main national website. So that's pretty exciting. And for those on this call who are not in Austin, you can find actions that are applicable nationwide. And for those of us who are, I think it's another good resource. And certainly for us, your leadership, to keep in mind, it's helpful. I imagine that'll continue to grow much as our local calendar will as well. So that's pretty neat. Let's see. The next thing I wanted to talk about, just sort of share some brief moments of success that we had over this past weekend. Another volunteer and I were asked to speak at a moveon.org meeting at a house, the home of a couple here in town. And it was a really great meeting, actually, very well attended, very enthusiastic. And we were, very honored to be given a nice slot in the lineup. And it was a moment that really made clear to me how essential the in-person connections are. And from that, we've got some ideas for other guest speakers we'd like to bring you guys on these calls and perhaps in other venues going forward, maybe our big citywide meeting. Later that same day, this is past Sunday, we participated in the Austin Writers of the Resistance event at Book People. And that was a smashing success, very well attended, hundreds of people, really wonderful readers, speakers, writers. One of the most exciting things, we had some really great volunteer input on a helpful sign for people to identify their districts and scan with QR codes. We also borrowed from the Nebraska chapter of Indivisible a really cool zine that I believe we have a link to on the website. Noah can correct me if I'm wrong.
We do.
Awesome. Okay, cool. I highly encourage anyone who's, got some spare paper and toner or, access to make cheap copies to print off a handful of these, fold them up, and just drop them off in public places. They were really popular, and they're, incredibly accessible.
They went like hotcakes, as they say. And I do just want to call out District 25E, the East Side District 25 Indivisible Group, had the hustle to put those together, and we're very thankful for that. And people love them, and everybody should print them out and bring them to all our events.
Yes, absolutely. Agreed. My personal angle is I'm going to try to find some really bright neon paper.
Yeah.
So one of the other roles that I'm performing, I would say to some degree the local level, as well as the overall sort of national level, is considering and reviewing partnerships, like other organizations that we can do work with, and figuring out how to make those happen. So much as we're soliciting for volunteers, I'm going to encourage anyone with suggestions for partnerships to also email the ask inbox, and let us know if there are organizations that you think we need to get in touch with or would work well with. So I'm looking at the agenda here, Noah, and I see a question from Tiffany.
Yes.
Should I go ahead and address that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So a question from Tiffany, wondering if Code Blue can join forces with Indivisible Austin for the Women's March. And that's very much in line with the partnership piece. I'm all for that, personally. I was already planning to meet up with some Code Blue and Pantsuit Republic folks. So I imagine that's already happening informally. But I'm on board if, you and Lisa are as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought I was muted.
Okay, cool.
So we had a pretty light agenda because in the past we have run out of time for Q&A. And so I think it was Sarah who had a really good idea that, it doesn't just have to be Q&A for us. There's also a lot of you out there who have your own Indivisible groups or are starting to form your own Indivisible groups, and you may have some success stories that you want to share. So not necessarily just questions for us, but also success stories. So again, you press 5-star if you want to ask a question. Right now, there's a couple questions in the queue. I will start with someone in the 973 area code. They've been waiting for a little while, and so I think when I unmute you, you'll get a little recording that says, line unmuted, and then you can talk. So 973 three, just sit tight and wait for the robot voice. I think you're
yes,
on.
Hi. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Wynn, invited in by Sarah. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hey, Wynn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Glad you're here.
Thank you. So I'm with Action Together New Jersey. I just had a quick comment. Noah, you and Lisa, you had mentioned about onboarding. So Pantsuit Nation Republic, Donna Murphy, they have an excellent onboarding process, and it's actually in the Unite Guide, so you might want to just touch base with her or check out the Unite Guide to see that. They've done
okay.
a really good job and have had great success through that process, and we've adapted it too here in New Jersey.
Okay, that's great to hear. We'll look that up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, I will mute you back and then go on to the next question or success story. Hang on just a sec. So the next caller, it's a 512, but there's a lot of 512s on the call, so just wait for the recording, and here we go. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Julia. I live in Austin, and this is regarding the signs. I'm on the website now, and it says where to meet for both of the marches. You look for the signs that say pound, hashtag resist and hashtag indivisible ATX. I just wonder if there's anybody on the call or anybody listening to this recorded message who would be able to take on signage. Thought of a banner. There's been a suggestion of handheld little some flags that say that indicate who we are. So
right.
That's what I have to say.
Thank you very much. I don't have an answer to that, so maybe Lisa or
okay.
Sarah. I know so far we've been very do-it-yourself and people just kind of packing their own signs and we give some ideas. But Lisa or Sarah, do you have any further feedback?
The only further feedback that I have is that the person who is sort of heading up our group, I'm raising my hand like I'm holding a sign. I know you can't see me. The person who's sort of heading up our group, I think, is going to prepare those initial signs. But I would advocate people making signs for the issues that they care about. I don't think we need to dictate in any way what signs should say. I don't think that we are quite organized enough to have a sign-making get-together before
right.
these events. So I think we're kind of each on our own to do our
signage. I think that's a fun thing you can do with some friends, too, because that's something I'm planning to do. There are some really fun ideas to be found online too.
Okay.
And I would add, if you do identify with any indivisible group, whether it's ours or another one, you know, do put that messaging on your sign somewhere. But to Lisa's point, you know, start with the issue that you care about, and then if you identify with an indivisible group, then by all means put that on there.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I'm going to unmute someone else. Okay, you are on the air.
Hi, this is Tiffany. First of all, I was at the Book People event, which was, you're right, a great event, and I got to talk to you guys a little bit.
Oh, I think, yes, I remember you. We met.
Yeah, we did. And I was just thrilled to see that kind of turnout, which was great. There was a woman there who was from Brazil, and they have all kinds of political unrest going on right now, too. And she was stunned at the number of people there and said that would never happen in Brazil, that people just are so complacent and there's so much apathy. So that really gave me a lot of hope, along with what y'all are doing. You mentioned a minute ago that there's go ahead.
No, all you.
You mentioned a second ago something that we can print up and leave in places, and I am looking on the website and I don't see it. Can you tell us where that is?
So I'll put it somewhere more prominent, but I bet if you search for the word zine, Z-I-N-E, it will come up.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say, you were talking about those in-person meetings. For better or worse, I've been reading up on the rise of totalitarianism in the past and authoritarian society. And one thing that authoritarianism preys on is your isolation and loneliness. If people are not out talking to each other about these things, then they are complacent. And so these in-person meetings, as much as we love social media and email and everything else, these in-person meetings are so, so important. So thanks for your call, Tiffany.
Thanks, Noah. Listen, I found the zine, but I also wanted to tell you on another note, I also contacted all the major media.
All right.
In town about tomorrow, and I let them know when the visits are going to be at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. for Cornyn and Crew, or Cruz and Cornyn, I guess, other way around, and spoke to several people directly who did seem interested in sending a team out to cover it.
That's great. Thank you so much. And if you do have any follow-up, you can email, is it media@indivisibleaustin.com? Did I get that right, Lisa?
Yes.
Excellent.
Great,
so,
yeah.
For press inquiries, media@indivisibleaustin.com.
That's
thanks,
perfect.
Tiffany.
Thanks.
Right.
And Tiffany, even if there isn't anyone there, I'm sure you know this because clearly you're following the guide perfectly. Go ahead and document as well, because we can follow up afterward and we can help amplify any results. But
okay,
way to go.
All right, I am going to go on to another 512 area code. Let's see, you should be unmuted right about now.
Hello, this is Jonathan.
Oh, hey.
Hey. We were speaking a moment ago about contacting other groups.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there was any contact had been made or was planning to be made to either Our Revolution or Brand New Congress.
Sarah or Lisa?
Let's see. Go ahead, Lisa.
What was the second organization?
I think it's Our
Brand
New Congress.
New Congress.
Brand New Congress, sorry.
Hmm. Okay. I haven't done any outreach to those organizations. What about you, Sarah?
I think Our Revolution is on our radar to review right now. We've got a lot kind of in the hopper right now. I don't know, I can't speak for sure whether or not we've actually made any contact, but I do know it is on the list. As far as, let's see, Our Revolution and Brand New Congress, it looks like Brand New Congress is not currently on our radar, but I'm going to go ahead and make note of that right now, and I appreciate the suggestion.
Do you need any volunteer help with making contacts with other groups?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and email us at ask@indivisibleaustin.com, and we'd be happy to reach out. Thank you so much.
Great.
Perfect.
All right. You bet. Thank you.
So next up is somebody who magically was able to input their name on a conference call, and so this is Kimberly. Are you there?
I'm here. I had no idea. I didn't even do anything to put my name in there, so thanks. I just wanted success from here in Columbus. We had our first in-person meeting on Saturday, and we had over 140 people crammed into a meeting room at one of our branch libraries, overflowing into the hall. So it was pumped with energy and really exciting, and a lot of people there. And since then, people have been posting on their timelines, and our Facebook group now has over 900 members. And
wow.
I know. I've been blown away because I had no idea what I was doing when I started the group, and still don't really, but like y'all said, I'm putting the plan together as we're flying it. So 900 people, and our group members have made 3 visits already in just the past 2 weeks to Senator Portman's office, taking letters from people who aren't, they only take 5 at a time. So everybody else gives them letters, and they take the letters upstairs to talk with the senator's staff. So, we're rolling here in Columbus, and I've been invited to a a local get-together on Saturday to start talking about how to change redistricting rules for next time to eliminate gerrymandering. So we're rolling.
We could learn.
So fired up. You mean Columbus, Ohio, right? Not Columbus,
that's
Texas.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Columbus, Ohio. Not Columbus, just, Georgia. Yeah. There's a lot. But, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yep. So that's our success stories.
Excellent.
Great.
So do you have another meeting on the calendar yet?
Yes, I've reserved a larger auditorium this time in the main library. It holds 200 people, and we're meeting on February 19th. And, you know, we're probably going to overflow that one, too. And it's going to be time to just have the district meetings. We have three congressional districts here in Columbus, and one more that has a couple of people from our group. So I'm encouraging them to set up their own indivisible group for their district because nobody else here. I mean, we're like, hey, we can go with you, but we can't talk. We'll just hold a sign or something if you want to go and if you can find somebody who can go with you to represent your member of Congress when you go to their office. But, yeah, we are we're rolling.
That's fantastic. And, yes, as you know, Austin has six congressional districts. And one of the outcomes of our big meeting was subgroups spinning off and now are getting huge, like TX10, TX21. They're really big, really, really active in their own right. And then even breakout groups within those districts, like I mentioned, District 25, East Side. There's also Williamson County Indivisible. There's Round Rock Indivisible. And so this is a movement that is growing fast, and you don't have to feel like you just need one group per district. Do it by neighborhood, do it by community, whatever makes sense, as long as you're not stepping on too many toes, a couple of toes.
We definitely have that going on as well. People are forming small groups for their neighborhoods, and the concern about that on my end, though, is that those little groups are going to end up dissolving, and then we're going to lose those people.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage them to stay in the main group so that we can keep that energy going.
Yeah, and I think just everybody needs to be open to merging, dissolving, you know, growing, whatever makes sense for the movement and is going to make us the strongest. And so I expect to see a lot of that kind of consolidation in the coming weeks and months.
Thanks,
right,
Noah.
Well, thank you, Kimberly. I think we have at least one more call. Hang on just a sec. I need to scroll down to find you. So this is another 512 number, and you should be on the air.
Hi, this is Chris. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Chris.
I had an amusing moment trying to get a hold of Ted Cruz last week, and one of the questions I asked was if Ted Cruz would continue to support the Constitution, specifically the Emoluments Clause. And the person, young man on the phone, said he'd have to look up the Emoluments Clause because he didn't.
Right.
Yeah,
so he acted like he had never heard of the Emoluments Clause?
No clue whatsoever.
I'm so sure because Ted Cruz is such a constitutional expert.
I feel like this is a perfect opportunity to drop off a copy.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Here's my pocket constitution, Ted. This is the page you need to pay attention to. All right, well thanks for calling in, Chris. All right, let me see. That might be it for calls, and so if you – oh, there's that's still Kimberly, sorry. We can talk to Kimberly again if you like. So, again, 5-star. It looks like someone named Michelle is raising her hand.
This
Michelle.
Is Michelle, indeed. Yeah, it's funny that it knows me.
It's a little creepy, so maybe if you've used the service
before,
then
it is a little creepy, yeah.
All right.
So my question is about how normal it is that we don't know where our representative schedule is in terms of being in district. Is that something that is particular to Texas or our area, or is that just the way it is?
That is a great question. That's, and I'm going to look virtually at Sarah to answer that one, but maybe Lisa.
Yeah, I sort of thought you were. I've mentioned this I've mentioned it some in kind of the, like, umbrella group, right? It seems to be not just Texas that is having this difficulty. I think, I don't know how typical this, you know, is or was, especially prior to the Tea Party, but I think since then, it's in part because of the experiences that you know, these staffers and others have had. They are not the only ones who are, you know, are hip to these experiences. I think there is some wariness about public engagement overall, and then announcing a calendar ahead of time. But that said, I think that's a really good question, and I'll certainly look into it further. Because to me, it feels wrong, but and frustrating.
Yeah, I would expect our representatives to adapt to the tactics laid out in the Indivisible Guide, and we will have to counter-adapt. And so stay tuned. This is an ongoing concern for all of us. I think the next phase of escalation is going to the media, but when that doesn't work, then we'll just have to wait and see what the next step is, because we will cross that bridge when we come to it. Thanks for your question, Michelle.
Can I add something?
Absolutely.
This is why, this is Lisa, this is one reason why that tips page was created.
Thank
so
you.
That if you do hear about something, no matter how you hear about it, I mean, if it was at work, if it's at your kid's school, if you heard it on the radio, whatever,
mm-hmm.
That can help us, you know, kind of create the Where's Waldo of our of our representatives.
So, and again,
can you
that's
still hear me?
Yes, you're still on, Michelle.
Oh, okay. So after this is wrapped, I had one additional comment. I wanted to make this on a different subject.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, so the other thing I've just been noticing is that there seems to be a lot of influencing starting up right now from the senators on the state issues. So mm-hmm. like in Cornyn's and Cruz's tweets, they're doing a lot of hashtag TextLedge, and I'm new to following them, so I don't know if that's new or normal, but I just wanted to kind of put that out there that they're participating on from their role as senators in the state conversation too. So even though they're not the decision makers, there seems to be a lot going on there.
A little bit of cronyism.
Their bully pulpit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Lisa, do you
well,
have any
no, just like encouraging
that?
The legislature to do, you know, what they think is right for Texas. You know, it was just interesting to watch, like, all these senators tweeting on Texas legislative issues.
It really is. It really is. And you know, we've talked about this a lot, and I mentioned it on the last call. I think Texas state legislature is going to be huge for us and for the Indivisible movement and really all state and local governments. It doesn't have to be federal government. The same principles apply at the state and local level. And being here in the capital city, I think we have to leverage that. What I was going to add about the tips page is just to remind everybody of the URL. It's indivisibleaustin.com/tips. So we don't want to know if they're having dinner with their spouse. We're really interested in public events where, you know, we can legally show up and talk to them. But send us what you got. All right. So I think we have another call. Let me just scroll down. Yes, another 512. There we go. You are on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My name's Courtney, and I apologize. My phone has dropped a couple of times, and I've struggled to get back in with the the weather with my signal. So I apologize if this has been noted, but I just wanted to add on. I know you had mentioned the meeting tomorrow. You're also having one at Cruz's office at 10 a.m. tomorrow. The plans to meet there about 9:30. So I'm not sure if anyone else noted that. I'm the one that has organized it. It took all day for Cruz's office to kind of shuffle me around and really not be helpful, but that's the plan tomorrow.
So yes, I think 10 o'clock at Cruz's office and 3 o'clock at Cornyn's. Is that right, Lisa?
Yes, the Cornyn is at 3 o'clock, meetup at 2:30.
So Courtney, did you talk directly to someone in Cruz's office about the appointment tomorrow?
Yes, I did, and that's something I wanted to add to. And if anyone's in one of the pantsuit groups, either Austin or Republic, it's posted there as a calendar invite. But they were really clear that no one is going to be there to talk policy, and basically it's going to be, this is how I feel, and they're going to call it a day. So I'm setting people's expectations about that, but my hope is that we can still be very firm about, okay, and so what, will you pass this on? What is the follow-up? And so forth, and obviously telling our stories and backing up with facts about, any talking points they have. So.
Yeah, and I think Lisa mentioned this earlier, when talking about the ACA, as much as you can make it personal about, some way the ACA has helped you, and as a constituent, tell your story. That is really powerful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
I just wanted to make a quick comment on the TXLedge hashtag in use by Cornyn and Cruz. I don't think it's totally abnormal that they do that sometimes. From past legislative sessions, I really don't recall them getting too much into the stuff that's going on locally. They were just in town last week because they were here for the Texas Public Policy Foundation's policy summit. And so I think they were also kind of doing some stuff like with Speaker Strauss and others where, they were with our local or rather our state lawmakers.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. All right. So I think we have another one. This is another 512. And you should be on now.
Hi, my name is Jerry. This is a follow-up question to the comments around trying to get some time and see our reps in person. I was curious if any thought has been given to having any coordinated action days around folks flooding their offices with calls and in-person visits even, asking the reps to get something scheduled to do a larger town hall.
So I believe there is some coordination of that with more the district-based groups. Lisa, do you know of any in particular, or Sarah? Okay.
That's an interesting idea. I don't know that I do. There probably has been that thought, but I think that's a really, really good idea. How about you, Lisa?
Yeah, agreed. I haven't seen anybody mention that. Which doesn't mean that there isn't somebody like working on it, and we just don't know about it yet.
So what I would encourage you and everyone else to do, when you go to our website, go to the section on congressional districts, and then on each of those district pages, we link out to other indivisible groups that are more focused on that particular district, and that's probably the best way to find actions particular to your House representative in Congress. And then also, if you have a group and you are not on our website, then we want to hear about that too, and we'll make sure to get you listed. All right. Looks like we have one more call from 512. Okay, you should be on the air.
I think actually my main question was kind of just answered in your last comment.
Okay.
I just kind of new to this thing as of today.
Hey, welcome aboard. Welcome to the resistance.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And, hey, I'm looking for any way possible to get involved. I work 9 to 5, but just looking to get more involved. And I guess second thing that I was going to note, I did hear something I think online about Lamar Smith potentially having a town hall meeting in Kerrville on sometime in February. I checked back again today and I couldn't find anything about it anywhere, so I'm not sure if maybe you've just been flooded and decided to cancel that or what, but that's something that I'm going to be keeping my eye on. If I see anything about it, I'll post it on the TIPS website. But
yeah, that would be awesome.
just anything, anything we can do to, just let us know about, I guess, any kind of outreach to let us know how we can get involved more as individuals and kind of find our niche and just kind of fight. So thanks for what you guys are doing, and that's all I got.
Well, thanks for what you're doing. Thank you so much. And again, connect with the Lamar Smith groups.
Will do.
All right. That might be the last question, so I'll give people just another few seconds. There's no wait, no line. If you have another question, press 5-star. Otherwise, we can give you back a few minutes, and you can go back to fighting the good fight. Okay, so that about wraps it up. Lisa or Sarah, do you have any? Oh, we just got a question that came in right under the wire. So area code 512, here we go. You are on the air.
Yeah, this is Jonathan again.
Hi.
I know there was a meeting yesterday, I think, in Austin at Central Market.
That was probably the District 25 group. I'm not. Go ahead. Sorry.
I just wondered if anybody knew of any organizational face-to-face meetings that were going to be coming up in the next week or two.
So our next big one, we're penciling in on the calendar sometime in late February, so it's going to be a little while. I am sure that the district-based groups, the smaller indivisible groups, have more face-to-face meetings. So whatever congressional district you are in, definitely connect with one of those groups, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of FaceTime before we do our next big one.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
For folks in District 10, that organizational team is working on a couple of face-to-face things that will be after this coming weekend of stuff, and I believe they'll be announced with events in the Facebook group.
Excellent. Thank you, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa?
Go ahead.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. Can we also get those cross-posted to the events calendar on the website?
I don't know why not.
Yes.
I'll just say I don't know why not.
So that's an action item for me, is to give all the district folks access to the shared calendar, and then they can just update away. All right, we have another question or success story from area code 615. You should be on the air now.
Hi, this is Felicia. I'm the founder of the Wilco Group.
Oh, hey,
and
Felicia.
Oh, hi. We just got started a week ago, and we're now over 130 strong on Facebook. We're about to get a web page up. You can find us on Twitter at Wilco Indivisible without the final E. Lots of good stuff going on, and we had our first meeting on Saturday. There's so much enthusiasm, and people have been flooding Representative Carter's office today. We're in District 31 with a very absent representative. So we've got some letters to the editor already out in local papers, and very, very excited people really getting down to work. One of the things I wanted to point out is that since we're functioning as a county rather than as an individual district, we have a little bit of a different flavor. And I've been trying to get the feel of the group, what the group wants to do, and there's a lot of energy for stopping Trump at the local level by really working the local legislature. So quite a few of our group members are really knowledgeable about how the ledge works, and they've testified before, and they're tapped in with local political organizations, and they're good on research. And so we've decided as a group to focus on 3 or 4 priorities. And we'll be hammering away. Those are also priorities that echo with the with Trump's campaign promises, things like immigration. Wait, that didn't make the list, sorry. Healthcare. Healthcare is right up there. Women's rights, you know, these things. So so that'll be the direction that we're headed in the next couple of weeks, to flesh out how our members are going to really hammer away at the state level.
Are you behind the Where's John Carter website that's out there? Have you seen
that? Oh, my
that?
Gosh. No, I wish I were. No, that's so brilliant. Somebody in the Round Rock Indivisible group came up with that, and that's just, it's just brilliant.
So if you're from the Round Rock team, raise your hand on this call, press 5-star. We want to hear from you. There's a website. It's like a Where's Waldo website for Where's John Carter, which is incredible. Okay, looks like we have another question. Getting there. So this is from the 717 area code. Okay.
Hey, everyone. This is Mike from Miami, the creator of the Indivisible MIA Miami group.
Hey. All right.
Hey. Hey. My question is a little more logistical in nature. So just like, I don't know who from Austin I was talking to, but whoever I talked to a couple of weeks ago said, just be ready for it because, you know, this is going to blow up fast. And it's doing just that, which is amazing, obviously. But in that regard, the logistics of things are becoming a bit overwhelming. I do have two other guys that are kind of taking the helm with me, and so the work's being split up between the three of us, but it's still a lot. And I just wanted to get some comments from people who may be kind of taking the reins in Austin as to, you know, how you divided the work up amongst the people who, you know, really developed the group from the beginning. Because, like I said, it's just between the website and Twitter and Facebook and, you know, emailing all these people back and forth and all these form letters and setting up meeting times. It's just, even for three people with full-time jobs, it's a lot.
Yeah,
so
it feels really ad hoc and completely unsustainable.
Yes.
I know.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe Lisa's the best person to tackle that one, and I can add to it if I need to.
Perfect.
Okay, so which part do you want me to start with?
Because
there was a lot, to be fair.
There was a lot, yes.
how to scale from three guys. Let's start there.
Oh, okay. So how to scale from three guys or three women or three anybody.
Guys,
yeah, three people.
I'm intentionally putting that out because I know where we're going to go with this conversation.
three humans.
I mean, we have tons of people in the group that are, you know, very, very interested. But in terms of devoting the kind of time that obviously the three of us had really devoted from the beginning, you know, not a lot of people have come to, they want to participate, they want to be part of our kind of subgroups that we've divided everybody up in, but they're not, you know, they all have full-time jobs too, so it's kind of tough.
Right, and we all have full-time jobs too.
Yeah,
So sort of, I think one thing that we did at the big meeting earlier in January, and Sarah, I think you can speak to this because I think you were running it, was the special projects group.
I was not.
You were not. Okay. Somebody was running the special projects group. And so that was for the things that are not specific to, for example, a single district's organizing needs. So, for example, people signed up to be part of the research team, and that team is, you know, doing sort of all different sorts of research on issues, but also on figuring out where our Congress people are.
Right.
There's other people who volunteered to, for example, work on social media. So part of it, I think, is if for you guys as leaders, you humans as leaders, to take a step back and figure out what are some of the critical needs that you have that other people can begin to take on. Because,
mm-hmm.
yes, a lot of people will say, I want to help, but until sometimes people are presented with a menu of the ways that they can help,
mm-hmm.
it just sort of falls into the I'll do whatever you need me to. And if you can
mm-hmm.
identify what those roles are that you need to fill and also what the skills are that you're looking for. So I'll give you an example. In the TX10 group, our website is built on a platform called Jekyll, which I don't know anything about. All I know is it's not WordPress. But we put out a call as people started to sign up to the Facebook group to say, you know, does anybody know this platform? Because that was a very specific technical need, and we're able to find some people who can help out with that. And then
I think, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you will have to go through a process then, though, as sort of your core team of sort of doing that onboarding process that someone was mentioning earlier.
It's tough. I know that the Austin group kind of started with a core group of people, a decent number that kind of had the same vision from that initial 12-person group that day. And from my standpoint, it was solely me. Even the two other guys were people I brought on board and kind of happened to meet in the very beginning that just happened to have the time and the passion to kind of get up to my level at that point. But it was all just me in the very, very beginning. So right now it's kind of like, all right, now we've gotten to the point where we've gotten all these people. We have our first meeting coming up on Thursday. And now I've got all this stuff under me that I started, the Facebook, the Twitter, the email, the this, that, and the all this stuff. And I need to start, you know, giving away my babies, so to speak. Like, they're all being nurtured by me. And I'm killing myself to keep them all up to date, but I've got to start giving that stuff away. And I was just kind of wondering, in Austin, like, you have a single person managing the Twitter account, a single person managing the Facebook page, a single person managing, you know, the websites and those sorts of things. Is that how you guys have kind of set things up, or
we actually have a lot of people doing lots of things. So
okay.
I think an outcome of your in-person meeting is that you will come face-to-face with people that you can trust. And you have to expand that circle of trust that you have going right now. You know, we started with two guys. It was Tom and me. And we decided to have lunch and, you know, had some people we kind of knew and some people we'd never met before at that lunch. And then a week later had our first conference call. So we met Sarah at our first in-person meeting, and we met Lisa on our first conference call. And so you might not know who's going to be running your organization yet. And that's the other thing I was going to say, is that just because you started it, you might only be able to take it so far. And there are people who have been doing this kind of work for a really long time and know what they are doing. And the more that you can kind of be open to that and open to their experiences and be trusting and just kind of give people authority and let them run with it, then I think that's the only way to really grow these kinds of incredibly fast-growing organizations.
Okay, awesome.
That's
Lisa, great.
As someone who sometimes really likes to have control over a lot of things, I empathize with what you may be feeling, that you have created a bunch of things and there may be a little bit of fear in having some other folks kind of take those and run with them. And I think a lot of it all comes back to, are you all working to kind of serve the same mission? And if the answer to that is yes, then, you know, allowing yourself to step back from things so that you can focus on the vision or the planning or whatever it is, you will feel a lot better for that. As organizers, we take on a lot, and we can't always sustain everything.
No, that's great. That's absolutely great advice. And you hit the nail on the head. I can be very, I like having control. I feel better initially, but overwhelmed in the end. And then I need to start relinquishing some of that control to people I trust, for sure. I need to be less like Robert De Niro and in whatever that Ben Stiller movie was. Anyway, I don't
This is Sarah. Can I add something real quick?
Please.
I also think you're doing a great thing in, like, asking for the help, the advice that you need. And I do think it's also really important I mean, yeah, the in-person meetings are great for getting things done, but they're also great for, you know, like for bonding, for connecting to another human and, you know, kind of growing these new friendships that are forming. And leaning on that support structure is also really important to, you know, kind of force all burnout.
Absolutely.
It may be helpful for you to reach out to, like, I don't know, I don't also want to, like, suggest another thing on top of your already lengthy to-do lists, like I'm sure you have. But if it's at all helpful, you could maybe reach out to some of the other Florida folks on Twitter. I know that, you know, some of them might be kind of far away, but it might be, you know, neat to eventually kind of form a network where you can, you know, talk to people who, you know, are a bit closer and maybe can provide mm-hmm. advice.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. I feel like I've taken up so much more of my time than I should have, but I appreciate it.
No.
Thank you so much for everything you've helped me with already. So.
Yeah, stay in touch.
I will.
All right, take care. I think we have time for one more question. We're a little bit past the top of the hour, and I know people are wanting to go to bed and be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed tomorrow to resist. And so I'm going to take one more from 512, and you are on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Chip from Texas 10.
Oh,
hey.
Hey, Chip.
Hi, the computer thing keeps talking to me about my hand going up and down. So anyway, so Lisa was asked a question about whether we can post Texas 10 events to the calendar, and
yeah.
The answer is yes. And in fact, while we were talking, I went in and posted the Corning visit that's tomorrow on the calendar. So if people go to indivisibleaustin.com and click through to the calendar link, you'll be able to find information about the Corning visit. And I want to emphasize, even though it's posted as a Texas 10 event, if you're a Texan, you're invited.
Cool.
I also want to mention that for Texas 10 ongoing activity, you know, we've all been doing the Facebook group thing, but all of our stuff also now goes to our website and to Twitter. So if you don't do the Facebook thing, there are other avenues to follow us, and we'd love to have you.
All right. Texas 10 is rocking it. I think that's going to be it for tonight. Thank you, Chip. Lisa or Sarah, any closing thoughts?
Resist.
And, yeah, take care of yourself. Do something fun. Make sure to take a break.
Thank you. That's great advice. All right, we'll see you out there. Thank you, everybody. We'll do this again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.